This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to another week of The Gardening Show. Bob Harris, good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
Mr. Master Gardener himself. A little wet today, but that's all right. I suppose we needed it.
Yes, we did need it.
As they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, give us a phone call if you have a question for Bob. Doesn't matter what we're talking about at the time. So I'm sure you have some notes in front of you today.
I do.
I do see you have some show and tell, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But if you do have a question, give us an email, garden@wesb.com, or call us 814-368-9372. So what's on your mind today, Bob?
You brought up that the rain, we needed it. You know, and many of us saw the ground was really getting dry and even cracking, you know. So we really needed this rain. And, you know, in those times, you know, as a gardener, you got to keep track of the weather. Some of those plants may have needed watered that are out in the ground or in pots anywhere around, you know, a little more often than normal through the spring. So as a gardener, keep close track of the weather. The weather can be interesting anyhow. And I want to say hi to Michelle and Cheryl down at Graham's Greenhouse. Those girls are there just about every morning, ready to welcome you and help you out with your plants. So hi to those girls. And now I want to tell on myself a little.
Would you do?
Yeah. a few weeks back, I think, or last week anyhow, I said, you know, it's time to plant. Go ahead and plant. Well, you know, you get caught off guard once in a while. So here's a tomato plant. Of course, I planted it. I'm trying not to make a mess.
Oh, he's going to show it on camera on Facebook Live here. The frost got it, didn't it?
You betcha. Oh, yeah. And I even covered it. I covered it with two layers of sheets even. Most of my plants made it through, but tomatoes are very, very tender. You can see this is, I'm going to bring it even closer here.
Facebook.com/WESB1075.
Yep.
If you'd like to join us.
That's what happened for me jumping the gun. I planted too early. It was kind of an experiment. You know, there's been years when we can plant the first
sometimes
week of,
you get away with
This is what it should look like right now.
What a difference.
Yeah, that's what it should look like.
So from wilted, dark green, kind of brown, to vibrant green.
But, you know.
Win some, you lose some.
That's right. It's no big deal. I'm out a few dollars and a little bit of time. But sometimes it's worth taking the risk. We can't really predict the weather all that well. Even weathermen that have been on the Weather Channel for 30, 40 years seem to make mistakes.
And with all the modern technology, still can't get it right.
Yeah. So as a gardener, you know, don't be afraid to make mistakes. It really doesn't bother me that I lost a couple tomato plants. Somehow, the petunias and marigolds made it through that hard frost. And, of course, the geranium. Geraniums are really tough. They made it through with no trouble at all. And so don't be afraid to make mistakes because we all do. And maybe next year I'll try it again, and maybe next year I'll be successful. Because it really was growing well, and it was really rooting out very well. But then that hard freeze came along.
Is there any way to revive it, or is it a lost cause?
No, it's a lost cause.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you can help out plants, I know. And
yeah.
But
not the tomato plant, though.
Is that a particularly weak kind of a plant? It's not hardy at all?
Not hardy at all, no.
Mm.
Not at all. But many of the other annuals, they can take some cold streaks. So a start over, no big deal. But I also wanted to bring in a few props here because Memorial Day is coming up. And one of the great ways to show off is the plant red, white, and blue. So I'm going to start with These are, I haven't showed these yet, wax begonias, wax leaf begonias. These are kind of small yet, but they'll grow to a foot tall and six inches wide. Very hardy plant, withstands wet and then withstands dry. And you can get those in the red and white. You can't get them in a blue. So,
next best thing?
Yeah. Ageratum or ageratum, you know, however you want to pronounce it. This is how you can get your blue.
That's a purple, kind of violet.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying blue because blue is almost an impossible color to get in plants. It's extremely rare. There are a few, you know, the delphinium, and that's a lot of the gene that makes blue is called delphinium blue. Very few blue plants, so we have to kind of substitute like that.
Improvise. It looks, and it'll look good when it's together. You get the point, you know, across when it's not too far off.
Right. It's not too far off. So to really get the true colors, I've got some petunias here. A nice red petunia.
Mm-hmm. And I notice how you're stacking those in front of the camera. The petunias are bigger, so you can put those behind.
Yes.
You could probably do that as you're, when you're planting as
well,
right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Read the tag. It has all the information of spacing, height, whether it likes sun or shade. So good information there. And then the white petunia, this real red, real white. And now, again, that blue is near impossible to find. So we're substituting this petunia, which I'm going to call it blue, you know, because, again, you just really can't find blue in the plant world.
That almost looks like a deep purple velvet kind of texture.
Yeah.
That's rich. That looks nice.
So that's another way to get the red, white, and blue in cemetery plantings or at home, however you want to celebrate Memorial Day. I highly suggest it. It's a patriotic thing to do and makes a lot of other people that pass by and see that think about that. So keep those in mind. Petunias, wax leaf begonias, ageratum or ageratum, however you want to pronounce that one. My grandma always made us pronounce it ageratum. So that's how I plant say it most of the time. Also, I want to talk about pruning a little bit.
Okay.
A lot of those spring blooming shrubs, they set their buds this time of year for early next spring. And I'll name a few for you here. There's going to be the forsythia, azalea, lilac, wajilia, honeysuckle. Those are a few, you know, and then the trees, you know, I've mentioned before, the crabapple, magnolia, maple, and redbud. Those are all the spring bloomers. There's more spring bloomers too. So the best time to prune them is immediately after they're done blooming, because they'll start regrowing and they'll bloom. I'll go back up a little. They'll bloom in the spring. Then they'll take a bit of a rest, because that takes a tremendous amount of energy out of a plant to put forth a bloom. And then they'll rest for a week or two. And then they'll start developing new growth and the new buds for next year. So that if you prune it right after it's done blooming, you're not going to destroy any flower buds for next year. Now, if you wait too long, if you waited till into June, late June, and you prune them, you would lose the flower buds. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we just don't get time to do the proper timing. So if you really want to prune your forsythia even in August, that's all right. You still can. You just won't have as many blooms as you normally have. And same with a lot of the other flowering shrubs. Timing is important, but not critical. So, again, to make sure that you get that good flush of bloom, and my mind keeps going about other things I got to talk about. Forsythia can grow quite rapidly and can grow a lot. It can grow 3-4 foot in a year. And that tends to make those branches heavy and they start to droop. Some of us don't want that effect. Some of us do. So that pruning can be very important. Right after they're done blooming, prune them back, especially those real thin branches, because they're going to be the first to bend over. So you'll add some strength to that. You'll make that branch thicken up so it will stand up more, and that shows the flowers a whole lot better. So that pruning right after they bloom can be very important for the spring bloomers, not the summer bloomers. The summer bloomers, we're going to wait till they have blossomed. Then we can prune them. But I'm just going to talk about the spring bloomers right now. And, of course, that also goes for those spring blooming trees that they're going to set their buds here in a few weeks for next year. So if you need to prune them, now's the time to do that. Did I cover that good enough?
My problem is I never know where to prune.
Oh.
You know, like what's the healthiest spot to remove? Yeah. Because I heard, before, especially like with trees, that you could actually do more harm than good.
Yeah, you can.
When if you take it off of the wrong spot.
Yeah. Okay. Branch. I'm glad you asked that. So when you're pruning any plant, whether it be for height or even for density, if a tree or a shrub gets so thick that you can't see through it, then it has poor circulation, and of course you may miss out on the flower because they're buried inside, but it's bad for the health of the plant. So you even want to sometimes thin, not just prune for height and width.
So they get too big for their own good.
Yes, they can. Especially a lot of us gardeners, we've been taught that we want to make sure we water it when it's dry and fertilize it all the time. And, of course, all those things spur on a lot of growth. So we have to correct it from time to time. But in pruning, you'll follow a branch. I'll use this tomato plant. Follow a branch, if it's too long, down to where a leaf bud is coming out. If we want it that height, trim just above the leaf bud, a quarter inch, half inch, just above it. That's the correct way to prune. We don't want to prune just below that leaf bud because then we're just going to have a blank piece of plant material sticking out. So just above, and that's where the next set of leaves will come out, and it'll hide the pruning cut. And whether you prune it at a 45-degree angle or straight across, it's kind of recommended that you do prune it at a little bit of an angle. So when water or moisture gets on there, it does have a better chance to drain off than a flat, straight across cut.
Just like a house roof.
Yeah.
You want it on an angle.
Of course, if the branch is coming out to the side, it's really not going to matter a whole lot because it's going to drain anyhow. But if it's a branch going straight up, then we want to prune it a little bit of an angle just above a leaf bud or any bud showing there.
Okay.
Another neat thing for gardeners to do and try and becoming more and more popular with all the cooking shows and so on, plant some herbs. Herbs are extremely, extremely easy to grow. They really just require a sunny spot.
We put even some small ones on our kitchen windowsill.
Yeah. You can grow herbs inside, outside. It really doesn't matter. They're just a real easy and fun plant. The only things I would caution you about is anything in the mint family. You want to plant where you know they're going to spread. They can be very invasive. Within 10 years, plant a mint plant in your yard, it all of a sudden can be popping up everywhere in your yard.
Wow. But it'll smell nice.
Oh, yeah. It will smell nice. And if you don't want it in your yard, well, then be cautious. Try to plant it in a container or a very confined place where it really can't spread. Most of the other herbs aren't going to do that, but the mint is real famous for that. Or another one I should mention is chives. Chives, they happen to produce a lot of seed, so those seeds can scatter, and you can have chives growing up all through your yard too eventually. But most of the time, you know, they're not too bad to keep in bounds. But the mint can escape very easily and spread, which again, you know, can be good or bad. I used to have a nice patch of mint growing up against the border of my yard and my neighbor's yard. And I kind of enjoyed every time I mowed, I got that beautiful scent there. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't a bad thing, really.
Does mint take over grass?
It can, yes. Yeah. Because it'll grow taller than the grass. It has a bigger leaf, so it can shade out the grass.
Because I was wondering, you know, maybe it would, is it a nice looking ground cover if there's like a hard part of your lawn to reach with a mower or something like that.
Yeah.
If it would be.
It could be, yes. Could be a nice ground cover. And when I say it can take over your yard, it's not going to do it overnight. It's going to take decades.
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
So don't be too afraid of it, but just be aware that it can escape its boundary, but it can be managed also very easily.
I hear
easily.
The same thing about horseradish. Is that true?
Yes, that's true with horseradish also.
Yeah?
Yep, that can escape and grow throughout. Now, if you really like the smell of horseradish, it's not a bad thing, but it does produce a big, big leaf and can shade out the grass underneath. But again, it's going to take decades to do it. It's not going to happen overnight. Not going to even happen in a year or two. So don't be too afraid of all that. You know, I don't want to make people think, well, don't plant any mint because it'll escape.
Right. I just think of like a cartoon character, like a mint, like escaping.
Yeah.
It gets out. And
that's a good analogy. Yeah.
Causes mischief.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
You know? But just be aware that mint can spread. It develops runners under the ground. And then they can pop up, and those runners can grow quite rapidly. But guys like myself, I don't really worry about it too much. The mower can keep it got down, and mm-hmm. I can even enjoy that scent when I'm mowing. And mint, some of the positives to mint, because they have quite a scent, a lot of volatile oils in them, they call them. On a nice sunny day, those volatile oils become gas, and they float around. And maybe you can't smell it very well, but insects do. And insects really don't like the smell of mint. So if you've got an area that has an insect problem, like your deck or patio, maybe plant some pots of mint around there. Ooh. That'll help with the reduction of those insects. Won't stop them all. You know, but will alleviate the problem quite a bit.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe plant some mint around our swing.
Yeah.
You know, like
the
area that we like to sit.
Yep. And, of course, mint, you know, is a harmless plant. You know, you can consume it. You can make mint tea with the leaves. You can make potpourri and bring it inside and have that beautiful smell. And, again, it will deter the insects. My grandma was one of those that back in the day, you know, I'm talking about 50, 60 years ago, that you put mint in some of your clothes drawers to keep the insects away.
Huh.
So mint can be a real beneficial plant, and so try some.
Now, on the other side, does it attract you know, like rabbits or skunks or any kind of things that I want to keep out of the yard?
No, it doesn't attract them either.
Okay.
No, but it, again, because it's such a highly scented plant.
Or deer.
Deer don't like it either.
Good. Okay.
So, you know, if you have that kind of a problem in your yard, maybe a little bit of mint planted here and there will help alleviate that problem. You can't stop them all. You know, especially the animals, especially when the animals are young, young deer, young rabbits. They got to, just like me and you, a baby's got to taste everything.
Yeah, got to experiment.
Yeah. So be aware of that. You know, sometimes that's going to happen no matter what you do. They do claim there's deer-proof plants, you know, deer-proof to a limit, you know.
Right.
Deer will eat just about anything, especially when they're young or extremely hungry. They will eat anything, even if it makes them sick. They'll still eat it, but not destroy it.
Right. Okay. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Master Gardener Bob Harris on The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM. Back in 30 seconds.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And we have open phone lines. If you have a question for Master Gardener Bob Harris, give us a call. 814-368-WESB. That's 368-9372. And we're also streaming on Facebook Live. Facebook.com/WESB107.5 is the address there. And you can always send us an email. garden@wesb.com. We were talking about invasive plants, but they're not so invasive. It'll take quite a while to take over. I know you wanted to talk about roses in just a little bit, but first I wanted to ask you, keeping the invasive plant topic, I always heard ivy is one of the worst things to plant as far as taking over and getting out of control.
It can be, and then it wouldn't be.
Should I be afraid to try it?
No, not at all. It used to be an extremely popular ground cover. But with some care, if you see it creeping into your yard or up a wall, then just trim it off. If you let it go, yeah, it can take over. It can climb a tree. It can climb your walls. It can spread throughout your lawn, but with a little care and maintenance, no, it's easy to keep in bounds. And I'm glad you brought that up, because ivy's always fascinated me. Of course, I'm older, so I come from that era where ivy and pachysandra were great ground covers, and they still are to me. Ivy is a different type of plant. It wants the flower. And it has a pretty flower and then produces pretty berries, but only when it reaches a height of 15 feet or more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very particular about that. It won't flower and produce berries if it's just creeping across the ground as a ground cover. Not until, and you know, the first time I saw it, I can still remember that, I was just so fascinated. Hmm. With it. And so I started doing some research and found out that, yeah, it's got to reach that height of 15 feet or more before it produces that flower. And believe me, it's a beautiful flower.
So what I was thinking is kind of using it as a privacy, like I have a picket style fence.
Okay.
And it's vinyl.
Okay.
So I don't have to worry about, you know, the decay.
Yeah.
You know, but would that be feasible to have ivy as a
yes
screen kind
but
of?
In your case, I would first research, is it okay for the chickens?
Oh, okay.
And dogs and cats.
Okay.
Because it is a bit poisonous.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'd first want to check into that. Now I know, again, I'm going to talk about my grandma's house. she had ivy growing, and she had chickens. But with some training, and she had dogs. Boston Terriers, gosh, they were the greatest dogs. Tabby and Star. with a little training, you can teach them to stay away from that, especially the berry that can be produced from ivy.
Mm-hmm.
That can be highly poisonous. So
oh, wow.
keep your animals and your children away from that. Train them, and then ivy can be a real nice plant.
It's a good thing that my dogs aren't 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
To get those. No. So every now and then they could produce a berry low to the ground.
They could.
As a fluke, yeah.
Yeah, they could.
Well, you wanted to talk about roses.
Yeah. They're getting more and more popular again. They were popular way back in the 1800s, extremely popular. And with science being able to develop what we call the knockout rose, now everybody can have a beautiful rose that blooms continuously. But some caution here. Roses need a little more care than the average shrub. They're heavy feeders. That means they need to be fertilized from time to time. They don't like to dry out, so they're going to need watered from time to time. Now, these are not bad things, you know. These are just things that the gardener does.
When you say time to time.
When the ground gets dry and the plant looks wilty, you got to water it.
Is it pretty much every day you have to go see?
No,
or can you skip a day?
Yeah, skip a day, yes. Okay. Not even with our weather, maybe once a week even.
Like check it once a week or definitely water it once a week?
Just check it.
Check it. Okay.
Yeah, don't water it until you know that the ground is dry.
Got it.
90% of all plants fail from overwater. And that I'll talk about through the whole season. Most people overwater, myself included, and that destroys plants. Plants have the ability, when they're dry, to stretch out the roots, find moisture. Even our morning dew for a lot of plants is enough moisture for them to continue on. But the roses, you know, keep them well watered, keep them well fed, and when those blossoms are spent, no good, pinch that area off so that will encourage the rose to rebloom. Otherwise, it's going to want to send energy up to that old blossom and make seed instead of making new blossoms. So once in a while when you're out there, just pinch off those old flower tips and you'll have a great-looking rose. Now, if you see a dead, we call them canes, they're the branches of the rose. If you see any of those that are getting discolored, a darker color, brown most of the time, trim them off even below that discolored area. Because those dead branches, for some reason or another, you know, a lot of different reasons, they can become infected with a fungus. And, of course, gravity will pull it down into the root system, possibly, mm-hmm. possibly yeah. not, you know. So by pruning that dead material off, we're going to keep a nice, healthy rose. And also, that heavy pruning can help the plant develop new canes or branches to keep that rose bush looking good and bushy.
And those, see, I'm a complete newbie, so I'm going to ask a really dumb question.
Okay, here. Good.
Does it come back every year?
Oh, yes, okay. yes, it does.
You don't have to plant it every year.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and
I kind of thought that, but I was like,
And the maybe. Knockout roses, they're grown on their own roots, and that makes them extremely hardy. They can withstand the Bradford winters with no trouble at all. Even if they kind of die back, you know, to just a few inches of the ground, they will resprout from that old root system and continue to grow, and we'll have a nice shrub again.
Nice. What's about the lifespan of a...
Of a rose?
A rose. Well, a rose bush.
Rose bush? That's a good question. It's a good question. I've been reading a book about old roses, and... It may be hundreds and hundreds of years.
Wow, neat.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are those guys that go out and collect old roses. A fascinating story. I've been reading about one particular guy. Have we got time for
We got about 20 seconds, Bob.
Oh, geez. Oh. Well, he's found, I'll make it quick. He's found a great place to collect the old roses. Is the old mining towns out in Nevada and California. that have been abandoned because those miners, you know, if they did make a strike, they had some money. And, of course, for their wife, they would buy a bunch of rose bushes and plant them. And those are still growing there, and some plant collectors like to follow that route and maybe collect some of those old-fashioned roses, some of them. Maybe that were even lost to history.
I was just going to say, it's living history.
Yes.
How about that?
Exactly.
Really cool. All right. I think with that, we're going to end the gardening show for today.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it kind of zoomed by.
Yep.
I'm sure you had a lot more about roses that you wanted to talk
about. I did,
about,
yeah.
But you know
but that's
what?
All right.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we do it again next week?
Oh, all right.
How about that as an idea?
That's an invite, isn't it?
It sure is. So we'll see you next Saturday morning, 8:30, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. This has been The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you.